Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Hayemi Maseches Meila Daf Yudches. We begin right on top in the Mishnah. Ha'orlo b'klei hakerem etzdarfin zeim ze. You have orlo material, the growth of the first 3 years of a fruit tree, and klei hakerem, which is a mixed up growth in the vineyard. So you have some vegetables growing with your vines. So each one of these materials are aser in their own right. This one because it's Arlo, this one because it's klei hakerem. But there is a commonality. The Mefarshim explained, our mission is following the Shita of Rabbi Meir, who says, ultimately, all forbidden foods are covered under the same pasuk. Lo yiseichal kol toyeva, don't eat all these forbidden materials. And that allows for a combination. That allows for taking a kazayis comprised of a bit of Arlo, a bit of klei hakerem, and mitzarfa together to generate liability. Mitzarf and zems. Rav Shimon, I mean, mitzarfa, you can't combine them. Ask the Gemara. So you need to combine them? According to Rav Shimon, meaning you need to achieve a shir kazayis to have liability. Umitzarach, Rav Shimon Latrufi, why in any case? What would Rav Shimon require adding and combining for the sum total of kazayis? According to him, Atan, you have a bris. Rav Shimon, Omer, kol shul makayis, to generate makayis for eating forbidden foods, even a drop qualifies. You don't need a kazayis. Tani in Tzrichon Latzarf, let's revise the wording of the Mishnah. You're right, according to Rav Shimon, he was saying you don't need to bother to achieve a kazayis. You don't have to combine. Even a droplet would be sufficient for liability. Speaking about combining materials, here comes another mission. Abeged ba'asak. Hasak ba'or. Ha'or ba'amapetz. Kulon mitzdarf and zemze. So Rashi explains in Maseches Kelim, we have a whole printout of the shiurim of various materials. How much of material, which is beged material, regular material, how much of it is needed to be susceptible to tumah? A very small amount, 3 finger widths, shalosh etzbois by 3 etzbois, right? So 3 by 3. That's enough to have usefulness, to have functionality. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos speaks about it being used as a patch. So that's the minimum requirement for tumah by a beged, which is relatively severe. Versus a sack material, sackcloth, a more thicker type of, that needs more to be considered functional, to be considered susceptible to tumah. There it's 4 tefachim square, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. What about oyer, leather? Is even more, it has to be 5 by 5. What about mapots, a reed mat, coming sukkah soon, right, a mat, 6 by 6. So in a sense you can say the mat is the weakest of the link. The oyer is also relatively weak, meaning it's lenient. It needs more of it to generate tumah. Sak is 4, so it's stronger in a way than leather and then the mapats, but it's weaker, it's more lenient than the beged. The beged is the most prominent, the most chashiv. Less of it is sufficient to generate the tumah. So let's say you have a piece of sackcloth, which is meant to be 4 by 4. You're missing some. Could you fill it in with beged? Yes, because beged is stronger, it's more powerful than a sack. Likewise, if you have an incomplete leather mat, you can fill it in with sackcloth. But you can't go the other way. You can't fill an incomplete sack with oyer, because oyer is more lenient than sack. You need more of it to generate tumah. So you can't go the other. You can only go up. You can't go down. Okay. But in any case, in concept, you can combine various materials to generate tumah. And the question is why? The fact is, they're so varied and so different. How could you combine them? In line with the principle that we've been discussing the last couple of days. You can only be inside of things which are of similar properties, but here they're so different and so unique, each one on its own shear. I'm not sure in my time, what's the reason for this? The answer is they have one commonality. Because Shane Ruinly Tami, but Moshe can become Tami if classified as a Moshev, as a seat, as we're seeing in the Gemara. So regarding Moshev, they have identical status. They'll share the same shiur. The same shiur will apply to all these materials if they're classified as Moshev. as the Gemara will explain right now. Tana, we went on a brice. Kitzea mikulam v'asim hen beged l'mishkav. Let's say he decided to take to merge together all these materials, a little cloth, a little sack, a little, to make from it of a beged l'mishkav for lying. Shloisha, as soon as he gets to the shir, 3x3 tefachim, you're in business. Despite the fact that it's combined, it's comprised of various different types of materials, you can do that. It can all serve together, jointly function as a mishkav, and shir, the same shir, the same size, will now apply to all these materials contained in this unit. Shloisha, lemoishav, it was meant for sitting on it. Tefach, all you need is a tefach by tefach. Again, comprised of various materials. Lachiz a kolshav, it's meant for grabbing something, a hand protector. As small as it is, if it has that function, it works. My lachiza, what does that mean, lachiza, and why would a small amount be enough? Amar shlokshav, Rabbanai, shkinevil navlo, so even a teeny hand protector works for the navla, for the, you know, people that are doing the weaving and the protecting their fingers from the threads. Masis and Tana the Brayas, we have another function for this. The people clipping off the figs, off the trees, they protect them. Even a small little, you know, baguette would be enough for that. So it has functionality. So bottom line, you see that in certain instances, you can combine these materials, and they're both conform to the same shear. So basically, the same shear requirement would apply to all types of materials in the context of a unit that was designed for either Mishka, for Moshe, for Achitza. So since we find that in some instances they're combinable, they join together, they team up, that explains Halacha in the Mishnah as well. So even if we have two separate entities, we have the Beged sitting alongside the sock, etc., etc., since they have some link with each other, in a case where he intentionally designed them together as one unit, so even though they're separate, they relate to each other, and you could combine them. Hadran Allah Kachi Mizbeach. Says the Mishnah, we speak about Mi'ilah. How much use is required to trigger the Mi'ilah consequence? Hanenem and Ahegdash Shabbat Pruta, he took a Pruta worth of Hanah. So he benefited that much from the Hekdash material, officially pogam, even though he hadn't really damaged the item, he hadn't diminished its value, he didn't, you know, wear it down. Moral, he has committed mila. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. I don't know, it all depends. That's what we're talking about. Something which gets worn down, you need to wear it down. Kolovash Yeshbe pogam, something which is typically worn down. We'll see some examples coming up soon. Loi malash yivka, mila only takes place when there is pogam. Having Hanah is not enough. You have to actually ruin the item to a certain extent. Shame by Pekam, something which does not get worn down. Kimish an animal, as soon as he has Hanah, shall I put the word, he did Mi'ilah. Ketzah, for example. Nasna katla b'tzabar. Katla is like a choker, like a necklace. She placed it around her neck. Hegdish material. Or tabas, a ring, b'yad on her finger. Shalza b'kesh alzav, she drank. From a golden kli, golden cup. These are not items which get worn down. Kibush an animal, as soon as he has a noah, that is mila. But lavash b'chaluk, he put on a robe, kisa b'talit, covered himself with a garment, became a kardam, chopped with a tool, with an axe. Items which get worn down and used up, loyma, la shifka, mila only take place when there's a pagam. And so he diminished the value of the item by a prut. Hananim lachatas. What if a person uses a carbon chatas? A live chatas. She chai while it's alive. Rashi explains, talking about a balas mom. She has a blemish, slated for redemption. So by using her, you're diminishing her value. Le mala shivka. Mila won't take place when there's a pagan. She chai, she may say, once she's dead, there's no value at all. You can't redeem it for the dogs. So in that case, hano is sufficient to trigger mila. Give an animal. Tanu learned on a price. So now Mishnah, it appears to be a machlokes. What constitutes mi'ilah? Rabbi Akiva seems to say, hano per se is enough. Chacham say, well, something which gets worn down requires pagam as well. Tanya, comes a Braisa, they seem to be on the same page. Rekiva fully agrees with them. If it's something which is typically worn down, you need pgam. It's not the question, but my community is what's the machlekes about? They're both saying the same thing. I'm a Rava. In general, they agree. Something which is typically worn down and rubbed out, you need pgam as well. But if it's something sort of in between, I'm a Rava, blavush mitzi, a middle garment, so not the upper garment which rubs and gets worn out, not the one closest to the person's skin, which also gets easily worn out. Something in the middle, like our tzitzit, which is in between, right? Lubush mitzi, the middle garment, ummalmala, some thin linen type of garment, which is not worn so commonly and looked after, and it's not something which typically gets worn down. So these items are sort of in between. So again, if you have something which is totally resistant to wear and tear, in that case, hanoa is what makes the mila. Something which is, yes, typically worn down and used up, we need pgam. The question is something in the middle. There's an element of pgam to it, but not so much. In that case, Rabbi Akiva says, you don't need the pgam to generate mila. It's not something which is considered a diminishable item, whereas according to Chachamim, it falls into the category of something which has pgam, in which case, for mila to be triggered, he has to be poigim ashir or shavaprut. Tanu Rabbanan. So we have the pasuk. If you have it on the margin, it's very helpful. It says nefesh kisimal ma'al. That's the pasuk regarding mila. So a nefesh will commit mila. V'chata b'shgaga mekachei Hashem. And the consequence is he brings a karban, asham l'Hashem, and he pays up the actual damage with the actual mila with the fifth, with the chaymish. So the pasuk begins with nefesh, referring to any type of person. It covers all classes of yid. Tanur abon nefesh, echad ha-yachad, whether it's a private individual, ve'echad ha-nasi, or a king, ve'echad ha-mashiach, or an anointed individual, like a kohen gadol. All these are included in the isur of mi'ilah. They're all liable to mi'ilah. Kisim al-ma'al, that's the next part of the pasuk. Kisim al-ma'al. What is the we learned so much about mi'ilah, but what is the exact definition? What's the translation of the word mi'ilah? Kisim al-ma'al. Ein ma'al. Ma'al means change, to divert. Ein ma'al elo shinui, to misuse. Take something which is hegdish and use it for personal purposes. You've changed its function, its use, its designation. As we find in two places that ma'al is used in a similar context. By a woman who strays from her husband. Ish ish kisiste ishto yumal v'mal. So she switched allegiance. Shinui. Vayimer, we find likewise by the Zora. Vayim alu. B'lekei avisayim. Vayizno acharei haba'olam. Or as they correct it, acharei elohei amei ha'aretz. So instead of having allegiance to Hashem, our loving Father, they switched out, so to speak, disconnected, and they strayed, they changed, and they went after the avodah zarah. So we find two places that mal is used in this context of change, of diversion, misconstruing something, redirecting, and likewise over here. Mila denotes redirection, taking something which is meant for Hagdish. He's using it for personal use. Now, what entails mi'ila? Is it the actual use, the benefit that you have from it? Do you have to damage? Do you have to diminish its value? Does it have to get worn down? Yochel, perhaps. Pogam v'loinen? Merely wearing it down is enough, even though you didn't have a no'. Rashi explains, this would be similar to the Avodah Zarah, where there's shinoi, but there's no hano'. There's change. There's a diversion of allegiance. But there's no benefit from going to Avodah Zarah. So there's destruction without any gain. So perhaps that's sufficient to create mila. Or the opposite. Let's say you have a no from something, but it doesn't really affect the item in any way. It doesn't lessen its value. It doesn't wear it down. So you have benefit from something which is resistant and there's no tangible loss of value. And Rashi explains, this would be similar to the woman. One after another man, so there's that hana'a factor, that satisfaction, but there's no pagam, there's no actual diminishing of status, because physically she was already married, there was no change of physical status, so therefore, perhaps we can learn from there, hana'a, in the absence of pagam, also qualifies as mila. Perhaps it could be something which is still attached to the ground. You use that facility. Would that be Mila? Or let's say you send somebody to misuse the Hegdash on your behalf. What happens in that case? Perhaps the Shliach is responsible and the sender would be Potter, such as we find elsewhere in the Torah. Send somebody to do something improper, it's his issue, it's his responsibility. He's accountable, you're not accountable. So perhaps all these would apply to Mila as well, Tama Leimar. Hence, we need a third source. The Pasuk here by Mila says, V'chata. Chata b'shgoga m'kach yashem. We make a connection. Tama Leimar v'chata. We connect it to Truma. Ne'amar chet b'truma. We find the Lashon chet by Truma. V'ne'amar chet, we find the term chet b'mila. We make a connection. We correlate the two. Machet to Omer by Truma, just like by Truma, where it has the word chet, it involves a poigim. What happened over there? He ate an apple of Truma. So yet anah, he also used up something. He diminished value. Right? And it was something detached from the ground. So we learn all these criteria from Truma and we apply it to Mila as well. Machet ha'omer b'truma, just like by truma, involves a pagim v'nena. He destroyed, he affected an item, and he had na at the same time. U'misha pagam nena, and it was the same person doing both at the same time. He ate, and he destroyed the item. U'bedavar, regarding the same item. She pagim v'nena, he had na from the same item that the pagam was affecting. U'v kimasa v'nasa ke'echot, and both elements, his enjoyment, and the diminishing of the item, was ke'echot, it was a simultaneous occurrence. Ubatolish Nakarka, something off the ground, otherwise it wouldn't be Truma. Truma has to be detached. Ubishleashlechusa, we find that if you appoint somebody to do Truma on your behalf, it counts for you. So he's doing it on your behalf. Likewise, by Mi'ilo, Av Chet Omer B'Mi'ilo, likewise by Mi'ilo, we have the word Chet. All these principles apply as well. First of all, both components are required. Pogem V'Nen. There needs to be an element of Hano and diminishing of the actual item, if it's something that gets diminished, as we learned before. Umisha pagam nena. It needs to be the same person, involving, associating with both components. So the same person who did the pagam has the anna. Ubedavar she pagam boy nena. And it both relating to the same item. Ufkimasa vanasa keechot, and happening simultaneously. Off the ground. There's no me'ilah on something that's attached to the ground. Likewise, we learn from Truma, just like over there, you ask somebody to do it on your behalf, it counts for you here as well. It's a chiddush, even though something inappropriate, you would think it's his accountable. No, you sent him to do it. You orchestrated, you arranged it. The sender is responsible. Okay. So perhaps me'ilah is limited to consumption, just like by Truma, where you actually ate something. What if it's just simple, usage? What if it's something that doesn't get diminished? Like we learned before, a piece of jewelry doesn't easily get, it doesn't deteriorate. So you just have the another usage. And it's worth a pruta. Rashi explained, how much would you pay to dress, buy, to rent this piece of jewelry to go to, to the event. So if you had the anah of a shavah pruta, but there's no pagam. Nana dov shem pagam minan. How do we know? There's mila there as well. And likewise, in the following series of variations, how do we know there's mila? For instance, achilasa achilas chaver. He took a pruta value of hagish. Half he ate, half he fed somebody else. So again, he only ate half, but he orchestrated a full hana, a full shava pruta of meal. Is he responsible? Hana yosav anas chaveron, or he had hana worth a half a pruta, and he offered his friend as well. So in total, there was a shava pruta of hana. Hana yosav achilas chaveron, achilas anas chaveron. Or let's say, for instance, he had some oil, so he had hana from it, worth a half a pruta. He smeared on his skin, and he fed the other half a pruta to his friend. Or achilas, he ate part of the oil, anas chaveron, he enabled his friend to smear the other, half pruta worth of oil. So in total, we have a pruta, but it was split between two people. So in stomach, how do we know these two things combine? Zeim zeh with each other, to hold them accountable. Afilu zman merubah, even though it took place over a longer period of time. Started in the morning, it stretched till the afternoon, and how do we know? It's all combined into one liability. Tamu leimar. The pasuk here says timoil mal, a double lashon, mikol makom, to cover all these variations. Well, once we connect it to truma, perhaps ima chet amav truma, just like by truma has a chet, and over there, when you eat, it has to be a shir kazayis within a meal's worth time. It has to be within achilas pras, within a couple of minutes. You can't have a half a zayis in the morning, half a zayis, next week. Ima chet amav betruma. You can't combine two half achilos with each other. Av chet ha'amah b'mil, perhaps b'mil as well, where it has chet, it works under the same guideline. You can't combine two portions of achila together. Minayin. So let's say in a case where ochal ayoyim, v'ochal amochal, he ate half the amount today and half tomorrow. V'afilu l'zman merubah, or he waited a very long time, a couple of days. Go back to Timon Mal, do double lashon. Even this is considered an act of milah. So, despite the fact that it's dispersed and spread out, after all, sum total, it's a hana of a pruta, which he orchestrated, he's chayiv. What if he split it with his friend and dispersed it throughout a long time? Ima, chetamon betruma. Once again, perhaps, just like a truma where it says chet. So he ate the truma item, the pgima, the diminishment, and the ano were a simultaneous occurrence. What about menayin achilas v'achilas chaberu afilu mekana chole shanim? So back by meila, if he took half the amount and he ate it, half he gave his friend. But that friend only ate it 3 years later. Mekana v'chol shon, within a long period of time. Minayin, how do we know that the orchestrator is chayav for the entire thing? Once again, that double lashon, mekol makom, to cover this as well. Here it's even bigger chiddush. Here it's split and it stretched for a very long time. It's still considered one experience. Ima chet amon betruma. Again, perhaps just like by truma, where it says chet. I turn to the next level. Achi yetzim nehegdash l'chayim. Just like by truma, what's happening? He's extracting the food, turning it into chayil. He's changing its status. By eating the truma material, ingesting it within himself, he's turning it into chayil, mundane material. So perhaps there's a girsa which adds av chet ha'amr b'milah, perhaps a milah as well, where it says chet. He needs to arrange that type of thing. Achiyetzim and hegdash l'chol milah is only if he's actually removing, extracting something from hegdash and turning it into mundane, using it for private purposes. But let's say he's merely redirecting it from one hegdash to the other. Min hegdash l'hegdash, is that milah? Okay, for instance, he had hegdash money. Instead of using it for its correct purpose, he decided to divert it and buy with it a different carbon. So yeah, he misused it, but ultimately it was for hegdash purposes. Is that also me'ila? Min hegdash lehegdash. For instance, lakach kinei zoven. He purchased birds for a zav, making a zavos for the women zav, kinei yoldos for the newborn, new mothers. V'shok al shikloi, or he took hegdash money and donated his machtzah shekel with that money. Or use Hekdash money to buy. Achatas and Asham. Kiva Shoitzi Mal. So there's Mila. As soon as he buys the carbon, Rashi actually has a different gerusa. Mila only gets activated when he brings and delivers the carbon that he purchased with the Hekdash money. He brings it to the Azara, to the Beis HaMikdash, which is the completion of his, which absolves him of his responsibility. It's a fulfillment of his pledge. So that would activate Mila. Kivan Shoitzim Mal, Divir Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Zid says, no, actually, you would have to wait until Achiezer is Hadam, until they complete this Rika process, which is the completion of the Akrova. And now the owner is credited for that carbon, so he has benefit from it. So how do we know this to be true, Minayin? How do we know? In this instance where he didn't actually siphon off the money for personal use, it was meant for Hagdish purposes, but it was misdirected. Tamalayma, once again, we have that double lashon, which covers all these scenarios. Timol, Mal, Mekal, Makim, in all these cases, Mila would apply. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We started with the combinations of Isurim and different materials regarding Tuma. We spoke about two categories of Mi'ila. Typically, Mi'ila is comprised of two components. The Hano'a of Shavu'pruta, with a simultaneous Pegima, diminishment of value, of the said amount. Unless it's something which is not destined for visible deterioration. Something which does not have Pegam, piece of jewelry, etc. In that case, the pgam element is not necessary, merely the hanoa element. Now we have three sources for the define for us the concept of mi'ila. We have the soita, which is hanoa without the pgam. We have the avodah zarah, which is just the opposite. We have truma as well, providing us with a lot of clarity, a lot of details regarding the extent and how far-reaching Mi'ila is. We concluded with the Lashon Mekol Mokim, which covers many variations, including Hekdash money, which was redirected for another Hekdash purpose that also is considered an act of Mi'ila. Okay, all the best to you and Hatzlacha.